I want you to open tonight your study booklet to page 320, and then in your Bible, turn again to the letter that we call James. We're going to start looking tonight at some more practical topics in the book of James. I know last week we did not get to any of it with the business meeting. That's fine, just the way things work out. But I want to start looking at some of the specifics in the letter that Holy Spirit led James to write. Remember, this is probably the half-brother of Jesus, grew up with him, knows a lot about him and observing how he lived his life as a toddler, young child, and into teenage years and early adulthood. And so what James does, it's more like a sermon than a letter, and there's going to be different topics. So we started on this one last week and read a few verses. So there is some advice that James gives in his letter, and they're going to point out about four here, and then the opportunity to think about some things we deal with today. So number one, as we look into the heart of the letter, one of the first topics that James brings up is that of suffering and trials. So I want to look at the two verses that are marked here, and then I want to unpack a little bit tonight with that, because I don't think there's anybody in here that does not deal with difficulties and trials and times of testing even, and you never know when it's going to come your way. I don't think today that the news I shared earlier with the heart situation and bypass surgery upcoming, I don't think anybody was expecting that, right? That is a difficult thing to hear. So there's difficulties that we deal with in trial. So James is writing to believers, and he's going to say something about that to give us some instruction and help. It starts off, and I think I read this before, but James is a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his half-brother. He's writing to 12 tribes, mostly Jewish folks who were dispersed abroad and scattered around outside of Palestine, most likely. He gives a word of greetings, and then I want you to notice what he does. He doesn't jump into an update on his life. He doesn't really jump into encouragement per se. It's just right to a command. Okay, James is very, I'm going to say, command-oriented, like a sermon. So he starts off in verse 2 and says, I want you to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I mean, hold on, what are you talking about? How do you put those two together, right? When you're going through hard times, how do you still consider that joy? So consider it joy. And then he says in verse 3, here is a little bit of the purpose in it. You don't think this, you don't hope this, you know this, that the testing of your faith, it produces endurance. And he builds on that and says, let endurance then have its perfect result. There's a purpose in that, that then you may be perfect, blameless, complete, and lacking in nothing. Some of us, maybe all of us, struggle with these verses. I know I do, because when difficulties and trials come, I'm just going to tell you, it's not my first instinct to say, wow, this is great. I'm going to rejoice right now. And I know I ought to, and I've preached that before, that, your worship and your praise is what helps elevate you above the difficulties of life, because you're looking more heavenward. And yet, I can teach that, but it's hard to do when I'm there. And so now here comes James along. And he says, oh, by the way, let me remind y'all of something when you're going through hard times. Consider it joy. I'm like, wow, that's really, really hard to do. So let me do something else really quick with this as well. I want you to look at the word at the end of verse 2, the word there for trial. I think you could be a little interchangeable here with the term trial, temptations, and testing. But here's my question. What is the difference in a temptation and a test? Because sometimes they wear very similar clothing. So does anybody have you ever thought about it? Because the reason I ask that is,
temptation, you're able to say yes or no to temptation.
Okay.
But going through a test, you may not have a choice. You may just have to go through it.
Okay. Okay. The reason I ask this is in our English, we don't see it, but the word translated trial is the same word in the Greek New Testament for like a temptation, a test, a trial. Mm-hmm. So you better determine then, what is James talking about? Is he talking about trials and testing, or is he talking about temptation? It's hard to know that. So give me something else. If you've thought about it before, like, how do you differentiate like a temptation versus like a test in life?
Let's say we're not tempted by God. We're tempted when it's something of our own flesh, okay, and our own desire. So if it's a temptation, it's an issue that we personally have, but a test can be something that like God did with Abraham.
Okay. Okay.
Where they have to take a step that the Lord's guiding that, and you still, in either one, you have to make a decision, but the source of temptation is our flesh. The source of a test could be the Lord.
Okay. Okay. So now I'm thinking back with Jeff a little bit, like temptation per se. I got to choose here. Do right or wrong? The test, if that's something from God, there's still some choosing, right? But it's more of an issue of like obedience or not that maybe provides evidence of my faith. So let's go back to Abraham and Isaac. Like, think about it this way. Abraham, why don't you take your son, right? Your only son, the one you love, and go out there a little ways and, you know, take fire and take this and sacrifice. And that would not have been foreign to Abraham because of his culture. It's foreign to us, but not to him. That's his culture. And I don't think God said, or was, you know, I don't think the context was, let me go tempt Abraham. Mm-mm. He tested Abraham, right? There's a difference, right, in tempting versus testing. And God does not tempt, because temptation is usually going to be trying to lead us to, like, sin.
Well, look at Job.
Okay.
And God and Satan were having a conversation, and he said, go. And God told Satan to go and see if you can take Job and turn him against me. So Satan is tempting him, but God is tempting
Okay. him. Okay, that's where I was going next. Now, I want you to think about this. Is it possible that when a difficulty in life arrives, Satan's doing everything he can with that temptation or that difficulty to tempt you to sin, and God might be using that difficulty to test you when it comes to your faith? Is that possible, that they both can happen at the same time? Maybe that's why in the Greek there's one word that means the same that's translated different ways in English. Like, I'm just throwing it out there, because whatever James is talking about, he said whatever that difficulty is, whether it's a temptation or whatever, consider that joy. So I think he's talking more about testing here. The difficulty is that way, right? Because he says that it builds faith and endurance. It produces good in our lives. I think. Maybe. So look at it again now that we've considered that. All right, here's what James says. Greetings. Oh, let me throw it on y'all real quick. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, your translation, some translations do say temptations there, but I think the context shows here with that word, he's probably talking more about like those tryings of our faith, the testings of our faith. And then he says it does produce good. It produces testing of faith, produces endurance, and he builds on that with more maturity in our lives. So I'm just saying it's very difficult when trials come. And whether you view those, in my opinion, whether you view those as items, as obstacles that can trip you and cause you to sin the way Satan wants, or you view it as, like, this is really hard and God is like testing my faith here, whichever way you view what comes into your little sphere, it is very difficult. And yet James' instruction is, consider that joy, because, now let me kick in Romans 8:28 real quick, right? God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him, etc., etc. So is God still on the throne when the trials come?
Yeah.
Yes, our theology tells us that, but sometimes, I think Cassandra mentioned it earlier, you don't want emotions to drive your worship or drive your theology, right? You want fact to drive your theology. So it's, we know that,
But let's just confess, it's very difficult sometimes to do verse 2. Consider it all joy. Okay, give me anything on that before we move on that you thought about in the midst of that rambling on my part, or anything in your life that you want to share with that. I'll throw out one more thing with that. Have you ever gotten through a trial and a testing or a difficult time and looked back and thought, wow, God sure taught me a lot through that? You know, you see some of the fruit that comes of that. So I think James does know what he's talking about. So consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, let's look at another end of that, and that's going to be point number 2 in the book. And this is going to take us down to verse 12 now. So as James talks about trials, he gets into verse 12 and he says, let me come back to that topic. Right? This is like a sermon. You've heard sometimes in sermons or preachers jump around and like they kind of forget and come back to something. So he does that. It's more like a sermon than a letter. So then in verse 12, he kind of builds on this idea of the trial. And he says, let me throw this out there again. Blessed is a man, a woman, a child. Blessed is one who perseveres under trial, under the pressure. For once he has been approved, he'll receive then a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So there's some kind of reward and blessing for those who persevere. Now, I think in the context of James, there's a lot of persecution. And so obviously, as they suffer trials and persecution, he reminds them of an eternal reward, like eternal life. He refers to as this crown. But I think the main point he's trying to make is what you have on the screen. Realize that God does reward for the suffering and our perseverance. And you see that in the book of Revelation as well, with all that the Antichrist is doing upon the believers and the martyrdom and all that. So James is trying to bring this thing full circle. And now, just while we're here, look at verse 13 really quick, because this comes back to that same word that sometimes can refer to temptation, while at other times it's a trial. Now look at what he does in verse 13. Talking about trials and suffering. And I bet somebody probably somebody got to think, you know what? Why does God hate me so much that he's tempting me like this? You know what James does? He says, hold on just a second. You're giving, and I've said this before to people, I said, you're blaming things on God? That's not his fault. Right? Alright, here's what he says in verse 13. You might need to hang on to this. He says, let no one, this is what Cassandra mentioned earlier, let no one say when he is tempted. Uh-oh, different context now. Right? Before it's a testing of my faith, now it's a tempting to sin. Right? Now it's my flesh, Satan, world, something's working against me. So let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Why does God hate me so much he's trying to destroy me? Hold on, James says, hold on, just a second. Don't say when you're tempted, I'm being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone toward evil. And then he says, what's really happening is this. Now, if you'll be honest, here's what he says, what's really happening. Each of y'all, can I throw a y'all in there? Let's do it. All right. Each of y'all, I'm telling you what, you're tempted, but it's when you're carried away and enticed by your own lust. So, again, difference in temptation and testing. Testing, yes, God does send Abraham, take your son, etc., will test your faith. Or you pass a test, or you're going to be head, father of this nation of people. Temptation is more, this thing is trying to trip me up, make me like disobey God, whether it's my flesh, Satan, whatever. But God is never the one tempting us to evil. So when a difficulty or trial comes, I think it can kind of sort of become both. I think it can be a test that God uses to bolster our faith and test our faith. But I think Satan also can use those times to try to destroy us and tempt us not to trust God. And to me, it sometimes happens at the same time. It's hard to know what is going on right here. Verse 12 says, when those times come, just know, as you persevere, he rewards
the suffering through those difficult times as they're testing your faith. So I think those kind of go together there at the start of James's letter. So give me anything there that stands out, you want to add to, ask about. Anything in particular? I had planned to get through all four of these tonight, and I think I got through the first one, but I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on the trials and temptations and the suffering. Well, I actually got through the first two. So I'm just going to stop. It's a little tiny bit after 8, if that clock is right. I guess it is. What time does it make sure? Yeah, it's right at 8. So I'm going to stop with that. And there's two more points that we'll look at next week about some advice that James gives. But as you read through the book of James, I want you to remember that it's more like a sermon. There's different topics in here, and that's why it seems to jump from topic to topic as you go. And there's a lot of really, it's a lot of recognizable passages in James where he touches on some things that are very practical. That's why people like the book of James. He's got a lot of practical stuff in there. So that's what a good sermon should have, a lot of application. And he does that.